320. Thank Ian for leading the opening praise tonight. 320. I am redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord. My soul from bondage free has found a last resting place in Him who died for me. Find it in page 306. And we'll stand this time as we sing. Let's unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer. Let's seek the Lord's face afresh this evening. Let's all pray. Our gracious, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we do still our hearts as we come into Thy presence in the Savior's precious and all-worthy name. We bless Thee, Lord, tonight. We have an audience with the King. Yea, Lord, the scepter is held out to us. And, O God, Thou hast bidden us to come boldly unto the throne of grace. We thank the Lord, where'er we seek Thee, Thou art to be found. And, oh, we come tonight in all our need. We come, Lord, praying that Thy blessing would be upon our gathering. We come, Lord, coveting Thy presence to be one of our number. For, oh God, we have no desire just to meet with one another, but we have that heart's desire to meet with Thee. We desire, O God, Thy still small voice to be heard behind us, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And as we can thank Thee for this morning, and for Thy presence, and for the stillness and the solemnity, yet we thank Thee, Lord, we realize that past blessings will not suffice for now. And we ask, Lord, that Thou would come again. The night is far spent. And, O God, we would that Thou would tarry with us. We would, Lord, that Thou would tabernacle a little longer with us this night. And Thou might move from heart to heart and from pew to pew. Lord, Thou art one that knows each one that sits in every pew. Thou knowest, Lord, those that are Thy children. And they can sing tonight, truly I am redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord. My soul from bondage set free. Oh God, we bless Thee that we've been redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Thank the Lord for Thine eternal plan of redemption. And oh God, we pray tonight that Thou wouldst, Lord, speak to those that are still in nature's darkness, those, Lord, that have never experienced Thy redemption. They're still bound and held by many a snare. They're still, Lord, following the old master, the devil. Oh, Lord, we pray this might be the night where Thou wilt stop them in their wild career. Thou might, Lord, have the victory in their life. And, oh, God, that Thou would draw them even unto Thyself by the cords of love. Lord, we thank Thee. We read that word that Thou hast loved Thee with an everlasting love. Lord, we pray that the love of Christ might melt the sinner's heart this evening. And we pray, O God, that they will be conscious that the Lord is in the midst. And Lord, Thou art striving with them by Thy Spirit. Thou art speaking to them, Lord, as if there was no one else in the building. There was no one else in the house tonight. But Lord, Thou art speaking just to them. Lord, give such a meeting tonight. Give old time convicting power. We pray, Lord, that Thy word would run and be glorified. Oh, God, we pray our testimony leaving might be the Lord was there and the Lord spoke to my soul. Lord, have a word for Thy children. Have a word, Lord, in season for each one. We know, Lord, there are many difficulties. There are many afflictions that have to be borne. There are many crosses that have to be borne in these days. And, Lord, we pray that Thou might draw near and Thou might speak a word even to Thy children. We pray, Lord, tonight for the backslider. And, Lord, it once was well with them. And, Lord, once they witnessed for Christ. And once they challenged others about their state and their sin. And once, Lord, they were found in the place of prayer. But tonight, Lord, they're a little way off. Tonight, Lord, they're in Bypath Meadow. And, oh, God, we pray that Thou would, Lord, strive with such. And I would, Lord, bring them back to their first love even this very evening. Lord, we thank Thee Thou were ever married to the backslider. And we pray, Lord, in mercy, Lord, Thou would draw near this night. Bless, Lord, those that are laid aside. O God, undertake for those shut into their homes tonight. And, Lord, the infirmity of the body prevents them from coming out to Thy house. And, Lord, they would love to be here. Draw near to them. Oh God, minister unto their soul. Give them a little word, even in season. Lord, if they're able to look in and to listen into the meetings, bless their hearts tonight. Remember, Lord, those that do look in through the webcast. We thank you, Lord, for the many that we hear about, even spread across the globe. And oh God, wherever they might be tonight, we pray that their souls might be blessed. If there should be those without Christ, that Lord, it might be a night of their salvation. Lord, it should be a believer that is unable to get into a house of God. A separated witness is not near them. And Lord, they're able to come to this house, as it were, and be part of our worship. Oh God, may their souls be blessed this night. We look to Thee. We ask, Lord, that Thine hand will be upon Wesley. Thank Thee for Your goodness toward him even this morning. And Lord, this afternoon, and we pray that Thou would strengthen our friend tonight. We thank the Lord for him. We thank the Lord that he is never missing from the house of God. And Lord, yet Thou knowest his need tonight. And Thou knowest his need physically and spiritually. And we ask, Lord, that Thou might bless him. And, oh God, that Thou would answer prayer. And, Lord, that soon we would hear good news. And Father, Thou would draw near to him this evening. Bless Sharon as well. Bless the family. And Lord, others that were looking on, even and passed by this morning at him being unwell. Oh God, we pray it might speak on. Lord, that the souls might realize that and truly there is the brevity of life. And there is but a breath between us and eternity. Lord of mercy and souls, we pray. Bless us this night. Remember up and down the land throughout our churches. The mainland, Lord, we think of just maybe a handful. But Lord, yet Thou hast promised where the two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I think of our brother Philip there taking those meetings in Lewis. Lord, we pray that Thou would encourage him and the people in the congregation. We pray, Lord, that he would see others gathered in. We pray, Lord, there might be a desire, an appetite for the things of God in that historic town. Lord, draw near, we'd ask of Thee. Bind the devil. Lord, we're conscious the devil's busy. We're conscious, Lord, that he's our great adversary, and we have no might nor strength against him. But, oh God, we thank Thee that Satan to Jesus must bow. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would bind the strong man even from our service tonight, that Thy word would run and be glorified. Help us, O God, in our praise. Help us, Lord, in the reading of the word. And, Lord, we pray for that help to be given as we would consider it in the preaching of it. Hear our cry. Abide with us now as we further worship Thee, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number 199. 199. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost He offers free to all. Page 256. That's 199. And we'll stand again as we sing, please.
Oh,
I invite you to turn tonight in God's Word to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 1. Two passages we want to read. This is the first one. Hosea chapter 1. You'll find Daniel, then the next one is Hosea. And let's just read from the first verse, please. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Bibleam, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, Call her name Lo-ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, Call his name Lo-ruhamah. Am I? For ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God. And then if you turn over to chapter 3, and you'll notice when you get there, it's a very small chapter. We're just going to read it all. Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, which look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an homer of barley and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return, and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Amen. We know the Lord will add his own blessing upon those readings for his own name's sake. Let me welcome you tonight, as ever, in the Lord's name. It's good to see you in the house of God. It's good to see the boys and girls, young people, older alike. Especially if you're visiting with us, we do welcome you as always warmly. And we trust that you'll feel at home in our midst this evening and we'll know much of the Lord's presence and blessing. We do want to welcome those listening in through the webcast as well, those in the DVD ministry, and we pray the Lord might bless you as you do so, as you join with us even this night. A few announcements for the incoming week. Do remember, please, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, is the prayer meeting and Bible study. We do thank those that were able to come out last week during the week of prayer. It's good to see as many out night by night, even though some nights were very wintry. Yet there was a good spirit of prayer, and we appreciate each one that made the effort. Do remember our Tuesday night, midweek now, prayer meeting running through, and do endeavor to be out at the place of prayer. 7:15, there's a school committee, short school committee meeting before that, so do remember that, brethren, as well, if possible. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, is the children's meeting, boys and girls again in the complex this Wednesday night. 6:45, Friday night, is the youth fellowship meeting to leave here, 6:45, as you travel to Market Hill for that youth rally. So do remember that, young people. Encourage others to come with you on the bus, and trust that there'll be a good meeting up there in Market Hill. So do remember that. There's a special subject that will be spoken on as well on Friday night. Then next Lord's Day, the service usual times, of course, 9 o'clock in the morning is the early season of prayer. Then 10:30 is the Sabbath school and the Bible class. And then we have the worship meetings, usual times 12 and 7. And again, they have the half hour of prayer beforehand. The Vision magazine is available, and also the Let the Bible Speak magazines are available. Do take them. If you didn't get a copy this morning, then do take them with you and give them out even to others when you've finished. But there are some available there. Do take them, please. Then beside that, you'll see a little motto text card, that motto text that we brought just a couple of Sundays ago. And I trust that you'll take one, put it in your Bible, in your diary. You'll be ever before it, and you can pray over those words and even give it out to others, a little calendar on the back as well. The retiring offering today after both services is for the building fund. Trust you'll remember again to give as the Lord has blessed. Youth Fellowship are asked to remain behind after the meeting for a practice concerning the prayer service coming up in the end of February. So young people, if you can remember that, we trust that you'll remain behind after the service tonight. Then also one announcement that we failed, that we forgot to mention this morning, and there's an open day of prayer for the Christian school, and that comes around every year at the end of January, and it's this Saturday in Portadown as usual, and 10:30 is the first session. I think the second session is about 1:30 or so, so do remember that. The Reverend Gordon Dean, our deputy moderator, is bringing the word in the morning time, and then the Reverend McClung in the afternoon. So it's an open day of prayer. It's not just for the teachers or principals, and all concerned can go to that in our church there in Portadown. So do remember that, please, this Saturday. I think that's all by way of announcement now. 101. We'll sing while the tithes and offerings are lifted for the Lord's work, please. Page 217. Blessed be the fountain of blood to a world of sinners revealed. Blessed be the dear Son of God, only by His stripes are we healed. 101, remaining seated while the offering is lifted.
Sorry.
that you unite our hearts as we have the Word of God open before us. At Hosea chapter 3, that little passage that we read just earlier on, entitled our message tonight, Picture of God's Love. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the singing of the congregation. We praise Thee, Lord, for these hymns of Zion. Thank Thee, Lord, for the truths therein. Lord, we've sung tonight of that fountain opened up for sin and for uncleanness. We've sung tonight of God's love towards sinners lost and ruined by the fall. We pray, Lord, tonight that Thou would bring us into this passage. Lord, I pray for help to be given in understanding it. I pray, Lord, for help to be given in rightly dividing the word of truth. To that end, I pray for the outpouring of Thy Spirit. Fill me, Lord, with Thy Spirit and with power. I pray, Lord, the Spirit of God would brood over this congregation. Lord, Thou would apply the Word. Thou would apply the Word by Thy Spirit to individual hearts. O God, hear and answer our prayer. Give me words that must and shall prevail. Give us those prevailing words, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you ever consider that the word that you're hearing is not a word of man, but it is the word of the living God? And men and women, that little truth is brought to us right at the beginning of the book of Hosea. Where you see what it says the word of Jehovah, the word of the Lord, that came unto Hosea. And it is a truth, moreover, that is repeated at the start of the third chapter as well. It's the sovereign God who speaks. For the word comes in God's way and in God's time. It's the authority of God's word that is in view, for it has absolute authority and power, and it is a word that is unchanging, and it's a word that brings hope to the people that otherwise are without hope in this world. That is why the message of the gospel, you know, is so precious. As it is presented to the unconverted soul who is without hope and without God in this world. But when you consider the message that God was to convey to Hosea, his servant, you might be excused for being perplexed by it. And that is because the woman Gomer, who is in focus in question here, is portrayed as a harlot. And she was one who made her living off the streets. And yet it was the word of God to Hosea to go and take her unto himself as his wife. And what is important for us right at the outset is for us to understand that the prophet is living out the message of God to the nation of Israel right there in his own home. Or if I can put it like this, he was the visual illustration before the hearts and the minds of Israel. He was to consider him a preacher. His message is seen throughout this book that is called after his name. Israel had fallen terribly into their sin, and yet God still had a heart for them. And so you hear the message that Hosea preached. If you turn over, for example, to chapter 6, verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. Or again, if you go to chapter 14 and verse 1, there is issued one final plea. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And his message was one of compassion, and his message is one of grace, and his message is one of tenderness and of mercy, and it comes from a man who had a broken heart over the way that they were living. Dear loved one, without Christ tonight, such is the picture that God would bring before your mind this very night. For you understand there is no difference with you than what we see portrayed in the actions of Gomer in these verses. And yet where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And the heart of God is revealed to us as His grace is extended. You see, there was only one hope for Gomer, and that was Hosea. And there's only one hope for the sinner tonight, and that is Christ. And the name of Hosea, what does it mean? It means salvation. And Christ came into this world to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I suggest to you that it's all seen in these verses. And it's all of grace. And I draw you particularly to the words of verse 2, although I will make reference to verse 3 as well. And surely therein is a picture of God's love. I should say to you, it's chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 3. Let me read the verses to you. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an homer of barley, and for a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. A picture of God's love. And while I trust it will be the means of convicting the sinner tonight and melting the hardest heart in this very house of God, I pray it might also be a reminder to every one of God's redeemed tonight of what God has done for us in Christ. You will consider with me, therefore, the request. The story of Hosea's domestic life is brought into focus again in this third chapter. We have touched upon what he was commanded to do in chapter 1, and that was to take Gomer as his wife. And please note that he was not disobedient to that word. For the words of verse 3 of chapter 1 instruct us that he went and he took her. But what has happened between chapter 1 and chapter 3, even though there had been the expressions of his love, even though there had been the faithfulness on his part as her husband, even though she had enjoyed all the privileges and the blessings of being in union with Hosea, and even though that union had been blessed with fruitfulness, yet Gomer went back to her old life. She again was found in the streets. She again is found among her lovers. And with that in mind, how startling then is the request that is noted to us in the words of verse 1 of chapter 3. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. And for what this request amounts to is a command. For then it says, then said the Lord, then said Jehovah unto me, go yet. And the sense is that Hosea was being told of the Lord to go again. To go again and to love a woman beloved of her friends. How difficult it must have been to obey the first command in chapter 1. Can you imagine that? To take to himself a wife knowing what Gomer was. But how much more so now that he was commanded to go and seek her and to find her and to love her again, even though she had betrayed him, even though she had brought shame upon him, even though she had brought shame upon herself, even though she was openly living in her sin. This was the same woman in question. This was still Gomer, whom he had promised to love when he first took her unto himself, and now he's to go again. We begin to appreciate how difficult that command was when you consider her condition. You'll see that there's no covering up of her state. There's no covering up of her sin. The Lord knew what Gomer was at this very juncture in her life. And so he speaks of her in verse 1 of this chapter as a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. There's no disguising of what she had done and of the way that she had taken. She had been unfaithful to Hosea, her husband. She had taken into her bosom other men. She had left children behind. She had returned her old paths. Indeed, we might suggest that she was somewhat living up to her name, for her name means a burning coal or completion. And there are those who have suggested that it signifies that she was burning with lust and she was very, very near destruction. It was nearly complete. And that is borne out when we consider not only had she returned to her old ways and again she's found among her lovers or clients, but her condition is so deteriorated that, as we shall learn shortly, she was the property of another. She had sold herself to being a slave. And so she has gone that low. She's in that desperate condition. And the former beauty that she may have had, it is now gone. There's no beauty in her any longer. But instead, there is a repulsiveness due to her sin. And my friend, just let's pause there. Let's bring all those thoughts together if we can, for you look at Gomer and you have a picture of yourself without God in this world. And the sinner tonight may throw up their hands and they may say, "Preacher, I'm no adulterer." Are you not? Let's look at it. For when Adam was created in that garden, there was that sweet communion and fellowship with God. There was that walking in peace with our Creator God. But sin entered into this world through the rebellion of our first parents, and all that was destroyed. There's no more any communion. There's no more any peace. There's no more any harmony with God. Where before there was peace and harmony, there's now a distance, there's now a running away from God. And the heart that was in perfect union with God and inclined towards God is now that has done the exact opposite. It's at enmity against God. It's a heart that is running after sin. And our state and our condition before a holy God is exactly like Gomer, for there's no merit in any one of us that would warrant God's love and salvation. Let me just remind you of Scriptures. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's no soundness in the body from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. It's all bruises and wounds and putrefying sores. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good. We are by nature and by birth and by practice the children of the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. And we're not merely in danger of destruction, but Paul, of course, the apostle, reminds us that we are already dead in trespasses and in sin. Now just listen to the words of Ephesians 2 and verse 3. It says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And that's how it was with Gomer. I say again, sinner, you're exactly like Gomer. You, sinner, have gone after other gods. You, dear loved one, without Christ are a spiritual adulterer. There's nothing of beauty in any one of us whereby we should be loved. Just as you look at Gomer. And yet consider the compassion there is in this request. Hosea, go again and love her. Why? Verse 1. According to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel. He was to go and love Gomer again because it was what God had done for him and what God had done for Israel. Even though Israel had sinned against the Lord, Even though she had turned her back on the Lord her God, even though she had been unfaithful, running after other gods of Balaam, of Ashtaroth, of the golden calf, of Nehushtan, the name they give to the brazen serpent. They all made it idols and gods unto them, yet the compassion of God was still the same. And my friend, the love of God is unchanging and it is unconditional as far as His people are concerned. And that must cause us to speak of God's matchless grace. Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by... I beg your pardon, Romans 5 and 8, it does tell us that God commendeth His love toward us. Not when we were His friends. Not when we were walking with Him. But when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sinners as defiled, sinners as filthy and sinful and undone and unclean, just as Gomer was. Yet what love that Christ should have for us, that He should die for us. Think of that sinner. Think of a dear backslider tonight. The one who may say to me in the privacy of your own home, yes, I've made a profession of faith. I can look back to a time when I was saved. I knew the love of God in my heart and my soul. Think of God's love tonight to you who are far off. And I tell you that whenever there's a request put before us, it's easier to digest and it's easier to accept when we consider what Christ has done for us. And for that reason, Christ is often upheld as the greatest of examples. Husbands, love your wives. How? Why? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. In this day and age, what manner? As unto the Lord. See, Christ is the example. Think, sinner, of the love that Christ had for sinful, defiled, and lost mankind. And He gave Himself to perfectly carry out and completely carry out the will of His heavenly Father. That meant Him coming down to this scene of time. It meant Him being rejected of men and crucified on a rugged tree. What compassion. What love. But you know, there's not only the request, but there's the redemption here. With this request ringing in His ears, there was only one course of action that Hosea, God's servant, could justifiably take. Difficult as it no doubt would be, he had to obey what the Lord wanted him to do. For in his own family, he was living out the message that Israel needed to hear and needed to see. Understand that there's a purpose in view here. And that purpose was that what God desired for His people and for this nation, it was that they might be restored. It was that they might be brought back unto Himself. And as one restored, she would again enjoy all the benefits and all the privileges of being in that blessed union with their God. She would again know what it was to be part of the household of faith. She would know again and enjoy being adopted into the family of God. She would understand and appreciate more than ever what it was to be reconciled to Him. And dear loved ones, so is the purpose of God for a sinful and lost mankind who fell in Adam's transgression and who turned against their God and their Creator. The purpose of God in promising the seed of the woman to come and to bruise the head of the serpent, the purpose in sending forth His only begotten Son when the fullness of time was come, was exactly the same. What was it? It was that He might restore unto man what we had lost in Adam due to our sin. It was that we might be reconciled to a holy God. It was that we might be in that sweet communion with Him, and where before we were afar off, then now we would be made nigh unto Him. And the purpose of God was that His people might be adopted into the family and fold of God, and of all the blessings and all the privileges that Christ has purchased for us at our disposal, as those who have been made priests and kings unto Him, and as those who are heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ. It was that He would clean her up. It was that He would make her a beautiful bride, one day to be presented as faultless and spotless before His Father. And my friend, that was the purpose of God in redemption from before the foundation of the world. And it is important that we consider the precept of redemption that is in view in our text. And it's simply this. There's no word that Gomer was regretting her sin. There's no indication, not one syllable on her part, that she sought to return. She was happy in her sin. But the precept is that she had to be sought for. And she had to be found. Hosea had to go, and Hosea had to seek her for himself. He had to go into the dirty part of the town. He had to seek her out, knowing what she had done, how unfaithful she had been, and where she was to be found. And by inference, that's what Hosea did. For he was not disobedient to this request of the Lord either. And dear loved one, so the application in the gospel is obvious. It's not the sinner who seeks the Lord. Left to yourself, you will never seek the Lord. Sinner, do you understand that? You will never seek the Lord for His mercy and salvation. Why? Because you have a wicked heart and within your breast. You have a heart that runs after sin. You have a heart that's against God. You have a heart that is against the things that are eternal. You have a heart that's running after sin as quickly as you can do it. You will long to hold on to your sin as long as you can, for you love it, and preferably without being caught or having to suffer or endure the consequences of it. But it is God who in love and grace seeks in order to find His sheep that are lost. And that is why Christ came. And that is why He took upon Himself the form of our nature yet without sin. That is why He came to walk in this sin-cursed and defiled world. He came to receive the rejection of men and the rebuttal of many. He came to be despised. He came to be in a place of humiliation where He heard them cry out, "Away with Him! Crucify Him! We will not have this man to rule over us." And yet He endured the cross and He despised the shame. And my friend, He did so that He might redeem His people back to Himself. And so, unconverted loved one, how imperative it is that while God's Spirit is striving with you, and while God's Spirit is convicting you of your sin, that you don't turn Him away, that you don't spurn away the day of God's grace to your soul. Did you notice the price of our redemption? Again, bring you to verse 2. "So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an homer of barley, and for a half homer of barley." Hosea went and sought her out. I've mentioned already that she had progressed so low in her sin that she was now a slave to one of her clients. And that being so, she had to be purchased. It doesn't say, so I brought. It says, so I bought. Hosea hence gives 15 pieces of silver and 1.5 homers of barley to buy her. But the interesting thing to consider is, and to consider it, you'll have to come back with me to Exodus 21. For there you'll find the price of a slave. Exodus 21, in the words of verse 32. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. There's the price of a slave. 30 pieces of silver. And it is twice as much as Hosea paid for Gomer. It is an indication to us that she had lost her previous beauty. She was, as it were, on the cut price shelf. There was a worthlessness about her. The meager amount of barley that's in question was but a day's supply. We might say that Hosea gave everything to redeem her back to himself, even going into the food supplies. And my friend, it does present to us that while Hosea would recover his wife on the cheap, although it was everything that he had, God in His grace was to pay the highest price for our redemption. And that was the very life's blood of His only begotten Son. For 1 Peter 1:18 reminds us, for we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, as of the vain conversation of your fathers, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Listen, it took nothing less than Christ to give us all so that you and I might be redeemed from the slave market of sin. Now, sinner, what do you think about him now? What do you think about him? That he gave his life, that he might redeem you. You who are just an eye, who's just like Gomer, filthy, a rebel, turned our back on God, and yet God's love reached out to redeem us by giving His only begotten Son. Oh, there's a powerful message here of redemption. You know, there's one final thought, and that is repentance. With the heart of Christ, Hosea goes. And he does recover Gomer from her state. And he does redeem her unto himself. He pays the price. And what follows is proof of how genuine it was. You see, there is the condemnation of sin here. Her sin is not dismissed lightly. It is not ignored. And some modern preachers are about that business tonight. They'll never mention sin. We don't want to mention that. That's negative. And my friend, it's not what the Scriptures teach. For notice what Hosea says to her in the words of verse 3. He said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Listen, thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. In other words, her old ways were in the past. They were gone. For when there's a true repentance, you know, there is a turning from the old ways, and there's a desire to please the one who loved us with an everlasting love. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Conversion means a repentance over sin and a desire not to return to it. And on the cross, Christ paid the condemnation of our sin that we should have borne. He who knew no sin yet became sin for us. God, being just, had to punish sin, and yet He is the justifier of them that believeth in Jesus. And He can be so because Christ paid it all. The full price was paid. The full condemnation of our sin was laid in totality upon Him and His own body on that tree. But not only is our sin condemned here, but there's also the compassion of the Savior here. For it is Hosea who says to her, look at the end of verse 3. Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. She was to abide with him many days. She was to be his dutiful wife and faithful wife. There's a love of Hosea revealed in that he would be the same to her. He would abide with her. He would help her. He would be loving her with an unconditional love. And my friend, so it is with Christ. And so it is with His love for His people. You can't look at the cross and not see the love of God towards sinful men. For through the sacrifice that Christ wrought, the price was paid so that a sinful and lost people would be recovered from the fall. And even though they had sinned, and even though they were defiled and filthy in their sin, yet the compassion of Christ was to restore, it was to redeem them to being His bride. Is that not the amazing love of God in Christ? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There is no love like the love of Jesus. Never to fade or fall. There's no love like Christ's love. Dear soul, have you experienced that love? Have you experienced that love in reaching you by His grace in all your filth and the mire of your sin and setting you among princes as one who is the apple of His eye? You've heard about it. It's been preached to you. I'm not asking you those things. I'm asking, have you experienced it in your own life and soul, personally? His compassion is promised, so will I also be for thee. He will not turn you away. That's the position. That's the privileges that you can enjoy tonight in the gospel and through the gospel. I wonder, what will you do with Christ as He is presented to you again as your only hope? I wonder, will you come and take Him as your Savior? I wonder, will you be part of His bride tonight? And when He presents that bride, His church, before the Father, you'll be numbered there. The name of George Matheson may not be known by many. George Matheson was a Scottish divine. He was born in 1842. But it was while he was at university that he learned some tragic news about his health. It was an hereditary issue. And the issue was that he had a condition in his eyesight that would mean that he would become blind. And let me understand, let me cause you to understand that he continued on his studies. A brilliant academic. He fell in love with a young woman like any other young man might do. But then came this news. And he felt he had to tell her. And he had to tell her because they were engaged to be married. Would you still marry him? To his dismay, she replied, I do not want to be the wife of a blind man. And so they parted company. And some years later, on the eve of his sister's wedding, that painful memory come back to him. And within moments, and he testifies of this himself, he never done a piece of work as quick. But within moments, he penned the words which are now in our hymn book. What are they? O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. My friend, that can be your experience tonight. For the love of Christ will never let you go. Backslider, do you hear that? You know that? You're not where you should be with God tonight, but you're still his child if you're saved. I'm through. But there is a little footnote that I want to leave. It is a short chapter, and to do justice, I think we should finish it. For you see, there's the covenant of salvation found in these words. The Lord, through his servant, gives a direct application to the nation. You'll find it in verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. It tells of how after the fall of the nation, and after their captivity, there never would have a king, never would have a prince. And they still don't to this day. There's no sacrifice. For the sacrifice to be made, there had to be the priesthood. There's no priesthood. There's no ephod. In other words, there's no knowing or having the mind of God. You see, that was what the ephod was used by the high priest for. To seek God. To know what the mind and will of God was. There's no ephod. And there's no teraphim. The teraphim were their gods. You know, one thing that did happen when Israel were brought into the Babylonian captivity, when they come out of it, they didn't go back to their idolatry. There's no idolatry mixed in their religion tonight. That's how it is with that nation to this very day. They might have their land, but they don't have these things. But look at verse 5. Afterward, shall the children of Israel return. And what we're looking at in verse 5, you'll see it at the end of verse 5, is the last days, the latter days. And these words bring us to the last days and to the covenant of salvation. For then shall the children of Israel return. And you will understand it's not a mere physical return, because that has already happened in 1948. And that little piece of land that is known as Israel to this night. But what we're looking at here is a spiritual return. There's a spiritual return as they will seek the Lord their God. And Zechariah reminds us that they shall look on him in whom they have pierced. And in that day, there'll be a fountain opened in the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. They shall return to Christ en masse, and he shall be their king. He shall come again, and they shall be restored just as Gomer was to her husband. Is Christ your King? Come now. Come now. And know the promise of salvation to your soul. What a picture we have here of God's love. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. I want to thank you for your attention. I pray the Lord would write His word in your heart as a word for someone tonight. Oh, faith that quickened me in death, George could say. I owe my inward life to Thee. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from Thee. I lay in dust, life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. That can be your portion tonight. Come to Christ and be saved. Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. Thank the Lord for this little chapter. O God, while it's perplexing, the command, the request that Thou dost give to Hosea, yet it was an illustration, a picture of what Israel had done to their God. They'd committed adultery, they'd turned their backs. And yet the heart of love of God still reached out to them. Lord, I pray that Thou would speak when the preacher's voice is silent. That the hardest heart in this gathering may come in and go out as if nothing happened. I pray that heart would be melted. And to think of what Christ was to endure on the cross for a sinner like us. And they might remember a love that will not let them go. And we pray tonight that Thou would give them the deciding grace, that I might come and rest their weary soul on Thee. Part us with Thy blessing. Speak on, we pray. Be glorified. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory.